I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture today is from Genesis 45th chapter, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer to him. "I am your brother Joseph, who you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there's 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it is not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'This says your son Joseph. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all you have. I will provide for you here, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so you and your household and all you have will not come to poverty. And now, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, see it in my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. May God add his blessing to the word, reading of his word.
Thank you, Lee. Have you ever found yourself in a foreign land, somewhere where you did not know the language? You didn't know the customs. You didn't understand that particular culture. It's a humbling experience. I'm pretty sure Bob Talent's been there. I don't know how many others of you have been. But a more profound question, I believe, coming out of this scripture, and there's going to be 3 different ones I'd like to address, but the first one is, how many of you here today have ever experienced or are experiencing strife in your family? Whether it be in your home or within your family unit, have you found family strife to be stressful, divisive, soul-wrenching? I often wonder how Joseph survived his ordeal with his brothers, thrown in a pit, left for dead, and basically growing up in a foreign country, not around his own people, people he didn't even know. Not to mention, he ended up working directly for Pharaoh, and that had to be rather nerve-wracking at times. I mean, seriously, you find yourself in a strange land around strange people, and you're supposed to survive in this world. We can only guess, and I think rightfully guess, that Joseph spoke Hebrew. It doesn't say that he was someone who knew Egyptian. But he had to learn, because that was the situation he was in. Joseph endured so much, had to adjust so much in life. When I can tell you, when my family and I moved to Brazil, and we were missionaries in Brazil for a few years, getting into that land, first thing I thought is, Brazil's beautiful. But then when I started talking to people and realizing I didn't have a clue what they were saying, and I didn't know how to talk to them, and we hadn't even had any lessons in Portuguese yet, that was a scary time. How am I going to communicate with these people? We were supposed to go to language school before we got to Brazil, but the school got canceled, and so the Board of Missions just sent us straight in. So we've had that feeling of, I don't have a clue what's going on here. I don't know how to communicate, and had to navigate our way through it. And maybe that's just what you do. My oldest boy, Chad, had a real problem adjusting to the culture of Brazil. Interestingly, he and my daughter both learned Portuguese real fast. Faster than I did. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I learned how to read and write Portuguese before they did. But they could speak it. And I got to tell you, speaking it was a lot more important. But anyway, we go on. We get in there. And Chad just said, Dad, I can't stand it. And I mean, the guy speaks Portuguese. He was great. But he said, they're not like us. And I thought, seriously, you thought we would come to Brazil and they'd be like us in the United in the United States? He was 15 at the time. Here's some of the things he didn't like, and I want you to take note of this because it was a pretty big thing for him. Number one, in Brazil, the pedestrian does not have the right of way. You walk in the street, you get hit, it's your fault. The driver is completely okay. There's no problem with the driver. If you don't die, you're going to get a ticket for walking out in the street. That was one of the things that Chad just couldn't deal with. Secondly, people in Brazil usually eat their supper around 8 o'clock. Restaurants will open at 6, but you know, you're usually there by yourself. If you're an American or some other country where you eat earlier, you go in at 6 and you're not going to see anyone until 8 o'clock. And he thought that was ridiculous because he was starving. Well, he was hungry 24/7, so we just got used to that. And then another thing that really bothered him is when we were there, there were between 6 and 8 million homeless children, not adults, children. And he didn't understand why Brazil didn't take care of those kids, because that's what our church did. That's what our mission was, is to help take care of kids. So being in junior high, my daughter, and high school, Chad, they also found out about parties. And we weren't there 6 months when they got invited to a party. That was another change for Chad. He gets in there, he gets an invitation, it says party at 7. He and his sister go to the party. The people are asking him why he's there. And they have a formal invitation. Invitation. Yes, it says 7, but we don't start parties till 9 o'clock. It was just understood in their culture. You get your invitation for 7, you know not to be there till 9. These are all things Chad had a real issue with. And angry, one day the boy stood there and told me, I'm going to step out in front of a car because I don't believe they're going to hit me. No kidding. Before he did that, we watched a guy get hit by a bus and killed. He stayed on the sidewalk and said, I don't think I'll be stepping out. We watched, and I mean, it's just so clear. And so what I did is I set Chad down and I said, son, you must adjust to Brazil because Brazil is not going to adjust to you. It isn't going to happen. And I have a feeling Joseph, when he got into Egypt and he had already been a slave, been taken in on this caravan, he realized real quick, I need to adjust. Because if I don't, they're not going to adjust to me and I'm going to lose out. So Joseph did some great adjustments. And that's one of the things in life that's very difficult for most of us, is to adjust. You know, the old saying that one of the things in the world you can count on is change. Change is like death and taxes. It just is, and it's going to happen. Well, with change comes adjustment. And so Joseph goes into this land, and he is so good at adjusting, so good at adapting to his environment, that he becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man. That's pretty important stuff. And knowing all of this about Joseph's life, we come to the part where he is now seeing, as Lee read to us, he is seeing the very people that betrayed him, his brothers, the very people that threw him in a pit and put him in this series of adjustments, this hole where he had to sit and wait till someone rescued him and then adjust to a whole new culture. Now I want you to think about this. What do you think was going through Joseph's mind when he saw his brothers? All except Benjamin, as we know, was the youngest and had nothing to do with it. What would you have been thinking when your betrayers are standing in front of you? Listen to this. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Boy, you get to that point and you think, he's about to let them have it. He's powerful. And he wept so loudly the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him. So dismayed were they at his presence. Think fear entered their hearts? Joseph's pretty powerful. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Did anybody expect that? There's a true story about someone who, in fact, held on to his anger. And I want you to think about this because Joseph could. He could have held on to his anger. But this guy exacted revenge. From 2003 to 2005, a number of former teachers and school administrators in New York reported a rash of vandalism at their homes. They would wake up to punctured car tires from roofing nails scattered all across their driveways, and garage doors and mailboxes splattered with paint. Some victims complained of being hit every 2 weeks. It went on for nearly 2 years until the perpetrator was caught. Turned out the vandal wasn't a rebellious student, but a former co-worker named Thomas Haberbusch, who was still angry about a poor performance review he received in 1977. And he was dismissed as a teacher. One of the police investigators said, "I've never seen anyone carry a grudge for 30 years. That could have been Joseph, couldn't it? He could have exacted revenge on his brothers. It would have been easy, and I'm sure Pharaoh would have backed him up. But Joseph isn't someone who harbored anger and exacted revenge. There was also the man who went to his doctor after he was bitten by a stray dog. The doctor comes in. He says, "Yep, you got rabies." The guy reaches over, grabs a pad of paper, and gets a pen and starts writing down names. And he says, "You don't have to write down names. We can cure this. You're not going to die." He said, "I'm not writing down names of people that I care about. I'm writing down names of people I want to bite." And finally, there's a story about a woman who was in a department store checking out, and as she was going through the line, the cashier noticed that she had a remote for a TV in her purse. And she said, "Do you need batteries?" The woman said, "Oh no, my husband wouldn't come shopping with me today. He's trying to watch 2 football games, and I figured that the most devilish thing I could do is take his remote." But Joseph didn't do any of those things. He wasn't trying to get revenge. It never entered his mind. What he did was take a negative and turn it into a positive. Have you experienced someone doing that, taking a negative and turning it into a positive? Rather than whine and cry about what was done to him, he glorified God by saying, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Now, you and I may say Joseph got a rotten deal. He was betrayed by his brothers. He became a slave. Then he became Pharaoh's right-hand man. Revenge? Not Joseph. Joseph took that and turned it into power and became a very powerful person. Joseph, excuse me, was like the lady who was in a terrible battle with cancer. And I've had this story for years, and I'm going to share it with you today. Sometimes I don't make it through, but I think I can make it through today. But I want you to hear this, because this is a life lesson. If ever there were an opportunity for us to learn how to handle adjustment, how to make our lives better and in spite of anything bad that could happen, I think this sends the beautiful, perfect message. The woman made a choice when she found out that she had cancer. She said, "This is going to be a wonderful day." She decided she was going to make the choice to be thankful and love life each day she had remaining. The alarm clock would ring and she would jump up out of bed and thank God for the wonderful day He made for her. She would be so full of joy. One day she heard the alarm and stated, "Today is about the choices I make. This will be a wonderful day," she said. "I shall make the choice to praise God and thank Him for all His benefits that He has given me." She was smiling ear to ear and looked into the mirror. She only had 3 hairs remaining on her head. She thanked God for the gift of this day and said, "I choose to rejoice in this day." So she made the choice. I think I will braid my hair. She was overfilled with joy at her beautiful hairdo and the day the Lord had made for her. Her 3 hairs. The next day the lady woke up and said, "This is going to be a wonderful day that the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice in it. I choose to rejoice in it." She went in to the mirror to discover she only had 2 hairs left. She smiled real big and said, "I know what to do. I will part my hair down the middle." And she had a wonderful day. The next day, she was so excited and thrilled to be alive. She was humming a happy song. She jumped up and said, "Today is going to be a wonderful day." She walked over to the mirror and found that she only had 1 hair left on her head. She thought, "You know, I haven't tried a ponytail." She fixed her hair into a ponytail. She had a wonderful day. The lady was really enjoying life. God had been so good to her. "This is going to be a wonderful day. God has been so good to me." She climbed out of bed and went to the mirror. To her surprise, all of her hair was gone. She was so excited, she said, "You know what? I don't have to fix my hair today." And she had a wonderful day. When Joseph saw his brothers, he was overwhelmed with joy. Seems all he could think about is a family reunion, not revenge. For they were lost and now were found. And Joseph said, I choose to make this a wonderful day. Let us think about our attitudes, our words, and our deeds. How often do we set the example for people around us in life that when things go bad, you can choose to have a wonderful day? Did I make the choice yesterday to rejoice and be glad? Will I make the choice to rejoice and be glad today? Perspective. Perspective. Joseph had the opportunity to be a vengeful person, to whine and cry over what had happened to him, to complain about everything in his life. But he chose to be happy. He chose to turn this gathering into a family reunion. "Go get my father, bring him. All of you come, let me be with you and take care of you." My friends, I got to ask you, if all of those things were done to you by family members, would that have been your response all those years later? would you have said, thank God I have my family? Let's have a family reunion. We're in a world right now where all I hear on the news most of the time is how families are stuck together in a house during COVID-19 and it's creating all kinds of fallout. Angry feelings, battling, divorcing, splitting up. But we can choose to be happy. And many don't. Many will say, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe. But when it comes to living the words of Christ, it becomes really hard. Let us rejoice that we're able to take care of ourselves, that we're able to be together and turn it into a family reunion. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, so much is going on in our world, and all too often we don't understand why it has to be this way, but it is this way. May we learn to accept. May we learn to rejoice in this day that you have given us and in every day that you give us. May we also remember that you are at work in this world, that you will not let us down, and the day will come when we will rejoice and have a family reunion. Be with all of us, whether in this church or watching on Facebook, whatever the case may be. Fill us with your Spirit, that every day we may let people know we are yours and that we choose to rejoice and be glad in the day that we have. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.